Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all campuses. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. He is risen. He's alive. Weldon, Florida, everybody. Oh, man. You can be seated if you stood up. You can sit down with the rest of those heathens. Come on, somebody. How many of you loved what happened so far today? Isn't it amazing, the worship team and Alex's story? And I'm just here to tell you that everybody's got a story we don't want to talk about. We're all former sinners saved by grace. I'm the least likely guy to be doing this job today. So maybe you think, you know, my uncle invited me, my mom invited me, and I'm not a church guy. I'm here to tell you that God is not talking about a church. He's talking about a relationship that he accepts you, he redeems you, he revives you. And so whatever campus you're at, we're glad you're here. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the blood. Some of you probably get a little queasy when you see blood. So I want to warn you, this isn't real blood. This is some kind of dye. It's fake blood from Amazon. But the container's real. Dr. Hope at our church in Florida, he gave it to us. And I want to talk a few minutes about the blood. We have early detection on disease through the blood. The Bible says that the life of the body is in the blood. But there was something very different about the blood of Jesus. There's different kinds of blood. You know, you got A positive blood, you got B positive blood, you got O. But how many of y'all have seen all this kind of stuff? But you've never seen this HB blood. How many of y'all, nurses, doctors, you haven't seen HB blood? This is something I made up. It's called holy blood. Holy blood is the blood that only Jesus could give us. Now, Jesus, everything's going great, you know? We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is the Blessed Trinity. And everything's going great, but then Adam and Eve, they sin and they do what they do in the garden. How many of y'all like me and you hate it that they did that? But how many like me and you're pretty sure you would have probably done that as well? I know you would because you didn't raise your hand in church. You're a bunch of liars. You would have done it right away. So we all make mistakes, but we needed a redemptive Savior that could actually once and for all settle this sin issue. First of all, when you received Jesus, maybe you prayed the prayer today, maybe you didn't. I'm going to try again at the end to go in one more time and give you the opportunity to make the most important decision that you would ever make. And that's to receive, not achieve, receive Jesus. But back in the day, you know, when people would sin, they had an atonement for sin. And so they were killing, you've heard of us, the rams and the lambs and the cows, and they did all of this for sacrificial ceremonies. But what this would do is this would bring a remission of sin, but it wasn't once and for all. Every time they did it, and then every year annually, they would have to go and try to get this blood, which wasn't enough. It would just cleanse it, but it wouldn't get rid of it. When Jesus came, he comes down the staircase of heaven. He's born through the virgin birth. You say, well, how did that happen? I'm glad you asked. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, overshadows Mary and inseminates her with the seed of God. This we see Jesus again now when he ends up dying and going to hell. Who resurrected him when he died? The Holy Spirit, the same one that gave life to him. Here's the beautiful thing about it, guys. The Holy Spirit is with you everywhere you go. He's the one that tells you, go back and tell that person you're sorry. Slow down, I smell a cop. There's bacon over the hill. You know what I'm saying? It's this still small voice of the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. And here's the kicker. Even when you don't know Jesus, you're like, well, I've never accepted Jesus. He's accepted you, and he's always talking to you. Even if you went to hell, he said, I go to hell with you because I love you so much. In other words, he would go to hell and back for you. This redemptive work that Jesus did, by the way, was a massive overpayment for what you and I have done. You say, well, you know, you don't know what I've done. I don't. I wish I do. We could talk about it. But you know and I know. But the Bible talks about there's an accuser of the brother. Here's a question I have at all campuses. How many of y'all believe there really is a devil? I want to know, just curious, just a poll. How many of y'all believe there really is a God? Raise your hand. How many believe that the devil actually lives in your neighborhood and you know the address where the devil lives? Some lady told me one time, she said, I don't know if there really is. I'm pretty sure there's a devil because I'm married to his brother. But there really is a devil, and this demon, this still small voice of God is telling you, believe the preacher today, believe the word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. But then there's this accuser on your shoulder telling you, you're no good, look what you've done, look at your past, you're not a church person, the church should probably split open when you got there. Or he'll just even go further and say, the church is full of hypocrites. And my answer to that is, don't you dare go to Target, because we go there too. If Walmart doesn't have what we need and we need to put clothes on. So the enemy of your soul oftentimes is that accuser making accusations, pointing out what you're not. So here's what Jesus did. When he died on that cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and he shed his redemptive blood, now we don't get what we deserve. We get what he deserved. So now he goes, check this out. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, for you know that you were not redeemed from useless, spiritual, unproductive way of life, through tradition of your forefathers, of perishable things like gold and silver, but you were actually purchased with, everybody shout this with me, precious blood. Shout it again, why? You were purchased with precious blood. This was sacrificial, unblemished, spotless God blood. Now, I want to show you something. I got to warn you that the video you're about to see is horrible quality because it's quite old. I was actually with my friend over here, Mr. Amini, and some other people, and this guy flew us to Kansas City for a meeting, and the dude was on the plane with us that day. He's my neighbor, and I didn't know him, but he's a famous trial lawyer in St. Louis. Come to find out, he comes to church here, and he started explaining to me, John did, about the blood of Jesus. He had taken a trip to Israel, and he had met these archaeologists, he had met all these scientists, and because he's a trial lawyer, he began to explain the blood of Jesus in a way that made me feel like, I can't believe you'd ever come hear me preach because you're just so much better than me. But partially it's because I was homeschooled before they figured it out. Can I get an amen? But John, I said, John, show me the video. So I edited this video down, and it's a little ratchet in the quality, but you got to pay attention to this. Check this out.
My question is that you said that you had the blood of our Lord examined by the Israelis.
That's correct.
What was their determination of that?
Okay, dried blood is dead blood. Everybody knows that. However, there's no way I know that you can get a chromosome count out of dead blood. You can get a DNA and some other things, but not a chromosome count, all right? That's done by living white blood cells. I took the blood into a laboratory in Israel. I just said, please examine this blood and tell me what you can tell me about it. They said, it's human blood, we can tell that. They did whatever tests they need to do. And then I said, take some of the white blood cells and put them in a growth medium and keep them at body temperature for 48 hours. And they said, well, that'll do no good because it's dead blood. I said, would you please do that for me? And they said, okay, we'll do it. Examined it under a microscope, and the one technician called the other one over there, and then they called the boss over there, and they looked at me and they said, Mr. Wyatt, this human blood only has 24 chromosomes in it. Everybody else has 46. You see, 23 from your mother, 23 from your father. This blood had 23 chromosomes from the mother's side, one Y chromosome only. They said, this blood is alive. And then they said, whose blood is this? I said, it's the blood of your Messiah.
Come on, give it up for Dr. Wyatt. Come on, Faith Church, you can do good. It's the blood of your Messiah. This blood's alive. This isn't just regular blood, this is precious blood. And when these archaeologists independently removed it from that slab, the science proved that it was alive. I'm here to tell you that God is alive, and I want to convince you of that. I don't think it'd be very hard to convince you, because we see now that the world is in desperate trouble, and people have this new way of religion, which is politics. And I'm here to tell you that the government doesn't have the answer. Scientists don't have the answer. Jesus was the way, is the way, and always will be the way. And the sooner we figure that out, come on, I'm preaching to the choir today, the better the whole world will be. When I think about the blood of Jesus in my life, in your life, and then I think sometimes we really underestimate how it gets rid of condemnation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, therefore, since we are justified, think about Alex right now, acquitted, declared righteous, in right standing with God, through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace and reconciliation with God, and let us enjoy that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Through him we have access, interest, introduction by faith into this grace, this state of God's favor, which we are firmly and we safely stand. Moreover, let us also be full of joy. Let us triumph over troubles, and let us rejoice. Let us be full of joy. Well, when I first met Alex, and I know you all loved his smile as much as I did, when he's like, well, I'm just going to make you the best of the day. And then he got that call saying he was getting ready to be released. And he's like, I guess God getting it for me, you know? God getting it for me. God working it out for me. I'm here to tell you that God is working behind the scenes. And when I saw Alex's smile, he's just now, not only is there no record of his wrong in the state of Missouri, there's no record in heaven of his wrongdoing. But he seems to have a joy, and he's so, get this, he's so full of joy. Most people would never tell, because nobody needs to know, because nobody knows. And if nobody knows, that's good, because we don't want nobody to know. But when you really get redeemed and acquitted and you're full of joy, Alex, for a year now, I see him at church all the time, serving, telling everybody, guess what? Look what God did for me. And I'm here to tell you today that we are all former sinners, saved by grace, so everybody ought to tell somebody about the one body that can change anybody. Give God praise today. So stop beating yourself up about what you're not. Years ago, when me and Nicole first started the church, you know, we had 180 people over in Fenton on 1416 Larkin Williams Road, and the church grew to about 2,000, and at that point, there's a lot of pressures, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I was driving down the road, and I did something that I want to confess to you guys, but I don't want you to judge me, although I know some of you will, because this is a big pet peeve with some people. But I was driving down the road, and I didn't think it was a bad thing because it's biodegradable, and I had this banana that I ate, and I threw the banana peeling out, justified it in my mind. When I got to the red light there by Bowles, a car flies up beside me in front of the fire station. The guy rips open my door and rips me out of the car because I had done this. Before I knew it, I shoved him into his car, which knocked his mirror off of the car. The firemen were watching all this, and then I got back in my car, and the firemen were like, hi, Pastor David. I never saw the guy again. I never talked to the firemen about it. But the next Sunday, I was up preaching, and while I'm preaching, I got a brain. Raise your hand if you think I got a brain. Over half of you, that's good, thanks. So my brain's going, and it's working against me going, I can't believe you're up here acting like you got it together when you shoved that guy, and you got mad, he starts condemning me. So while I'm trying to preach, I try to justify it in my mind, so I'm going to repent on stage because I just feel a sweating bullets dying up here. So I'm like, God, let's forgive me right now. I'm so sorry I didn't measure up. That was the statement. God, I'm sorry I didn't measure up this week. And the Lord said, you thought you measured up last week? I thought, well, I thought I did. But see, this holy, all-knowing God understands that even whatever's not of faith is of sin. So even on our best day, even on the day that we're letting people in traffic and we feel like a philanthropist, when we give away, you know, extra food to the poor and we feel like Mother Teresa, no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to jump high enough to get to the moon. It's only through the blood of Jesus and freedom from condemnation that realize that his blood is sufficient for our sin. Give him praise today. I love verse 8. It says, but God shows us clearly and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the anointed Messiah, he died for us. Therefore, since we are now justified, I want you to underline that in your mind, now justified, acquitted and made righteous, brought into right relationship with Christ by his blood. The life of the body is in the blood. If you're in an accident, the first thing they want to do is stop the bleeding. Because if you bleed out, there is no life after the blood. This blood that Jesus shed, as you saw from now scientific reports, that this blood's still alive. Why? Because it wasn't just human blood. It wasn't normal blood. It was the blood of God. And here's the wild thing, guys. Get all of this. If you were the only person that was ever born, Jesus would have came all the way down, been born of virgin birth there, lived this spotless, sinless life for 33 years, would have crawled up on the cross. I wish I had some footage right now of actually to let you feel what it feels like and let him pierce his hands. Let them flog him and beat him. And he had never done a sin. He said, my God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. But he did that for us. So the one thing we need to do is say, you know what? If Jesus did all that, I'm going to receive his grace. I'm going to walk in his grace. I'm going to tell everybody everywhere about his grace. Even if there's no record of my sin with the saint, I'm going to tell people, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, telling one beggar about bread to another beggar. He's a big guy. Colossians 3, verse 1, and this is awesome. It says, this is so cool. It says, and since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things that are above. Here's how you live the Christian walk. First of all, nobody's perfect. Any preacher that comes to you and says, you know, why don't you come to church and be like me? That guy's a liar. By the way, a lot of preachers always preaching on sin, like, you know, preaching against sin, or it's like, alcohol's bad, you know, whoring around's bad. The preachers usually preach about what they're struggling with. Just a trade secret, okay? So I'm here to tell you that everybody has this flesh. So when you get saved, you receive Jesus, you have been raised to a new life with Christ. That's facts. But you're not going to feel like it. You see when people get saved, you know, they got those songs. Looked at my hands and they look new. Looked at my feet and they did too. If you get to heaven before I do. No, if you had corns on your feet this morning and you received Jesus and you leave today, you're going to have corns on your feet when you leave. I hate to break it to you. So nothing changes on the outside. But something starts changing on the inside. And now through the joy of your salvation, you start realizing, you know what? I'm not worried about gas being $20 a gallon. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not worried about who's in the White House. I'm worried about who's sitting on the throne of my heart today. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Kingsman Redeemer, my God. Because you can get real caught up and not really enjoying your life when you have been raised up with him. Now, in our last few minutes, I want to talk to you about just enjoying life. I'm 53, and I know what you're thinking. You don't look a day over 52, and I appreciate you saying that. Actually, I'm not 53. I'll be 53 in September. I'm so old, I forgot how old I am. But in 53 years, I've noticed that it took me forever, guys, to get 16. If you're in Florida, it might be different there, but here, at 16, you get your driver's license. Remember that? You're like, oh my God. And then 18. You guys, it took forever to get 18. And it took forever to get 21. And all of a sudden, I rolled up into 30, and then I hit 50. So whatever age you are, I want you to understand this. I don't know how many Christmases you've got left. I don't know how many Easters you've got left, but I do know this. Life is for living. Life is for loving. Life is for embracing people. Life is for pulling down your mask and smiling at people. Love is embracing one another, even if we don't know them. I don't care what religion they are, what race they are, it doesn't matter. You ought to love people because God loved you. And the more you realize how much God loves you, the more confidence you have. Now, here's what I have to tell you about confidence. Me and Nicole had a little baby. I never thought I could fall in love with a bald-headed, toothless woman, but I did. 18 years ago, we had this child who we told her she's great. You're awesome. And she is. And she fully believes it. And she also likes to eat whatever she wants, when she wants. She'll go to Taco Bell and buy like a stack of 10 tacos at midnight. And I'm like, you shouldn't eat like lunch before bed. She's like, why? Don't body shame me. All her friends will go to the pool, and they're like, oh, I need to lose weight to go to the pool. You know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I need to wait 30 minutes after I eat. Nicole's like, no, I eat while I'm in the pool. She gets on stage and she sings and she has confidence. And it's a good thing. But sometimes I see so many people beat down because somebody said that you weren't. And somebody said that you're no good and they left you and they divorced you or your dad said that you're no good. I'm here to tell you, as her dad, I didn't want her to have daddy issues. Our mama didn't want her to have mama issues. So we raised this kid. Not that we did everything right, but I'm here to tell you, somebody needs to start telling you you're okay. Tell you, attaboy. And I'm here to tell you today, I believe in you, and God believes in you. And if he died for you and shed his blood, somebody ought to give God praise today. Then you ought to enjoy it. Stop being so hard on you. Go up with confidence. Go up with boldness, knowing that God loves you. Raise your hand if that's helped you so far. Come on, Weldon Ferguson, everybody. Okay, so here's the last thing I want to tell you. Not just a regular religious service, and may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, may the Lord's face shine upon you. I want to give you some little handles, okay? We all know how to lose weight. We've all watched enough videos. How many of y'all pretty sure how to do that? You just sit on the couch and watch videos. You're like, I've been doing this since Richard Simmons had on short shorts. I know, you gotta have a calorie deficit. You gotta spend more energy than you put in, but it doesn't change the fact, don't eat before bed. I eat in bed, I break all the rules, right? But I know what to do, I just don't do it. So I wanna give you some things that'll help you change your life forever. First of all, I say this all the time at church, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So you can get around, I can get around your five friends and I can see where you're going to be in 5 years because I can watch what they do and I know that you're going to be the product of the people that you associate with. So I want you to, today, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to receive Jesus and I wanna be the person that leads you on the most important decision of your life. Then I want you to go down in water through water baptism. And then I want you to go to church, even when you don't feel like it. Because the devil always tells you that you're no good. My grandfather, he was a Teamster. I didn't even think of this story. That's why I started crying, because I remember the story right then. The Holy Spirit brought it up to me. My grandfather was a Teamster here in St. Louis, and then he had cheated on my grandmother, and he did something bad, and he wouldn't go back to church because he felt like he was a hypocrite. She had forgiven him, but he couldn't forgive himself. And one day when he kind of lived in a trailer, he had a mobile home, and it was a jacked up situation because he actually had several mobile homes, and this shows you, like, my family really should be on Springer. Like, He divorced my grandma and him divorced, but he rented her a trailer next to his trailer. And so she lived, my grandma and grandpa lived on the same property. So I'd go see them and I would see them both, but they didn't live together. He got married again to some lady. They've all went to heaven now, so I can say their names and protect the innocent. And I remember my grandpa told me a story one day. He said, David, last week, I went back to church in Dexter, Missouri, where he lived. He said, I went to this little church and I went in there and I couldn't feel God. Because basically what he was doing, he was just hearing how bad he was. But then he said about 3 or 4 songs in, all of a sudden I said, God, I'm going to lift my hands even if I don't feel it. And I'm going to sing even if I don't feel it. And he said, you know, at the end of the sermon, when the preacher gave the altar call, I prayed the prayer, and all of a sudden I had goosebumps everywhere. I felt him again. God has forgiven me, and I will never do that again. And I'm here to tell you today, no matter what you've done, Jesus' blood will save you and forgive you. So go to church and lift your hands when you don't feel like it. Go to church where they call you everything but what you are. I'm here to tell you, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, all things have been passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Give him praise in the house of the Lord. By the way, you are not what you did. Alex is not what he did. I trust Alex with anything. I trust Alex with the money of the church because he's so honest. Other people lie. He told us the truth. The Bible said the truth will set you free. Today, as I close this talk, I want to tell you that I'm not a professional preacher. I don't have to do this. I did this because God called me to do it. These churches in Florida, and I don't know, we have, 8 or 9 campuses? I'm not trying to, get a bunch of campuses because I want to pave parking lots and deal with people. The problem with the people business is the people. Can I get an amen? If you don't say amen, I'm assuming you're the people that we're talking about right now. But I do it because I want you that might have just had a relationship with religion. You went to church and you knew all of the moves, but you weren't moved. It's time in 2022 to say, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. I'm here to tell you, church, it's important for us now to be the church. It's important to go when it's not Easter. It's important to go when it's not Christmas. It's important to go when it's not Mother's Day. It's important to go when it's Father's Day. Somebody ought to give God praise if you agree with this. I'm not going to change your life. I couldn't change my own life. But this blood can. And it already has. So you might as well enjoy it. Here's one other rule about the church. If you see me in a hallway or see me at Fridays or see me somewhere, don't run away. Look down. I want to talk to you. I love you. I met a couple of people today and shook hands with people, but you can see an outlier like, oh man, I don't want to go over there. I'm not worthy, or I don't know what they were thinking, but I just went out of my way to hug them and love them. I'm here to tell you that you shouldn't feel bad because you sinned, because we've all sinned. And anybody who's done anything is welcome at this church. And I'm ready to build on what we got. I'm ready to change the world. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to worship Jesus. I'm ready to get everybody saved. Let Jesus come back. Let CNN and Fox News report on it. Say, look, something has split the eastern sky. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our blessed, beloved Savior. I'm ready to meet him in the air. I'm ready for you and me to go see our loved ones there. Everybody stand with me, and I want to pray for you. Nobody moving around. Please don't leave. We'll be out of here in a couple minutes. But with your eyes open, I just want you to raise your hand if you say, Pastor David, this sermon spoke to me today. Raise your hand at all campuses. I don't like playing games. I don't even play games for real in life. My family, they get so mad at me because I don't play. I just don't play games. I don't play any games. I don't play games in life, and I don't play games. I like to work. And I'm not playing games with you today. It's time. The Lord's telling me it's time. Life's short. So when's the end of the world? I don't know, but that doesn't matter. When is the end of your world? I hugged two people last night. They've been with us at the church forever. Their kids don't go here, but their grandkid at 14 months old drowned here in St. Louis last week in a pool, and they do the funeral tomorrow. And as I asked for them specifically, because I was at our church in Florida and I heard about it, and I called them, and last night I brought them to my office and I just cried with them. And I don't know the answers. All I know is to just cry with them and love on them and pray with them. But I know when bad things happen to good people, run to Jesus. When you make a mistake, run to Jesus. When you're having a good day, run to Jesus. Don't run away from him. You can't run from this living blood. You can't go underneath it, and you can't go above it, and you can't go around it. By the way, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus and this blood. There aren't many ways. Like now, it's like there are many religions. No, yeah, there are many religions, but there's only one Savior who died, resurrected himself, and is still alive forevermore. And his name is Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We gave you an opportunity earlier, but I just can't do it. It's just so important. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to say, Pastor David, I'm going to repent of my sins today. I want to make Jesus my Savior. And I'm not ashamed to do it. If he died for me and what you're telling me is true, and this feeling and sense and this tug in my heart that I feel today, the authenticity, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand right now. I'm not going to count to three. Raise your hand. This is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Every campus, raise your hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I want you to look at me for 1 second. I never ever call people out, and certainly not, so everybody calm down. But I met a guy today who was invited by a friend. And I could tell he wasn't a church guy. And my whole day, if I never preach again in my life, my whole day is made because when I said, raise your hands. I saw him just put that big old hand right up just right there. And I'm here to tell you that heaven is his home. Jesus is going to be his Lord. And that's what I'm going to live my life trying to do. Somebody ought to give God some rowdy praise today. Pray this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I ask, Lord, for you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn my back on my past, and I turn my face now towards the cross, towards Jesus and his local church. I'm gonna get saved. I'm gonna get water baptized. I'm gonna read your book, and I'm gonna go to your house. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand for all those people that just received Jesus. That's incredible. So proud of you. Well, you can be seated. We'll be out of here in about 2 minutes, but I want you to see all the great things that are happening at your church. Check this out.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.